I don't see enough people actually doing a personal inventory of everything they're doing.
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw,
who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
All right. So, what do we want to talk about today, Heaton?
I think we're going to talk about this trap, and it's the motion versus progress trap. And I know there's some content out there about it, because I'm sure I read it, but I'm sure most people haven't read it. and people just write about this often because there's a big difference between motion and progress, right? And they almost look the same when you see what people are doing. And the context of this is like when you're starting a company or if you're running a company, there's a whole bunch of stuff that you can do. Right. And your choices of the amount of things that you can do or you need to do doesn't get shorter. It gets longer.
Yeah.
Right. Or at least what you think. Right.
Yes.
And so what I find is a lot of people who are trying to start companies or even running their companies, they end up doing a lot of stuff that's what in the category of motion. So it's like when you look at their list of things they're doing, it's long and they can look back at a week and say, I did all this shit.
Yeah.
Right. But when you put the lens that most people don't put on that is like, am I actually making progress with these things? And if you don't know where you're going to go, then it's going to look like progress, even though it's motion.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about that because I see this all the time.
I love the topic. I see this all the time. I went through, and I'd be curious to hear about you. I went through a journey for most of my entrepreneurial life. I had highs and lows, times where I was really progressing and focused on that, and times where the type of business that I was running allowed for a lot of bullshit and I indulged in it, right? And then coming out of that as well. So
you said type of business.
Yes, because
can you just give an example?
Yeah, I mean, the first few businesses that I did had nothing to do with technology.
Yeah.
They weren't like, this is going to change the world, it's going to be Google-like or something like that. And they were like, this is the product and you can sell it, right?
Yeah.
So it was not even like creating the product myself or the services, just like selling or marketing.
You're like a middleman. Yeah.
Yes. Or you are like a franchisee or something along those lines. A lot of bullshit is taken already care. And all you have to do is like, well, find a location, sell it, market it, right?
Yeah.
So in those businesses, I did pretty well with it. But then when I started to dabble in like the startup world and when I came to the Valley and I was like, I'm going to start a startup and change the fucking world. I spend time on everything that doesn't fucking matter.
Like
the logo.
Oh, yeah?
The name.
Oh, yeah?
The t-shirt. I had a t-shirt before I had a fucking product.
But isn't the name and the logo and the t-shirt important?
Oh, no.
Okay, why not?
No, because there's a million retarded names that became billion-dollar world-changing companies.
Like Flickr?
Like fucking Flickr. Google today sounds like a good name. I'm not exactly sure. Like the good name, a lot of the value and the meaning behind the name happens after the naming. It happens through what the service is providing.
Totally true.
I think that, I mean, there are some examples where probably there was a really fucking bad name and it stopped the company from being successful. And there's certain industries, maybe in fashion or other industries where it's more important than in others. But
don't
in general,
waste time on it.
Don't fucking
don't
waste
think
time
it's
on
progress.
It. And you could change it. If you're wrong, you can change it.
That's right. Don't make that prevent you from starting.
Yes.
Or making progress.
Yes.
So don't spend like a month trying to come up with a name.
Oh, no. Yeah. Don't come up with
unless
a name.
You're an expert in naming and you know how to
do it. No. No, even then not.
That's good.
Right? No. So, don't waste time on the name, on logo, on t-shirts, on business cards, on the website, on setting up your blog. You know how many people spend weeks and weeks setting up their blogs?
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's insane. Like, why don't you just, like, to me, one of the greatest examples and reminders, when we started blogging for Close.io, one of the reminders of not wasting time on this was actually Eric Ries.
Yeah.
Because his blog,
when
he started writing first, was horrible.
Yeah.
It was just some, like, Google.
Blogger.
On Blogger. And it was the worst template. Like he literally took the, I think it's the standard template. He didn't even spend the 3 seconds to choose a nicer looking template.
Nope.
No, it was horrible. Horrible. Yeah. Who gives a shit? He wrote
content
really
great.
Content was great. People were sharing the fuck out of that.
Yeah.
And after a while, he built an audience. He turned that content or a lot of that and some other into the book. Right.
That's right.
He didn't care about the fucking, is the blog nice? No. Is my image on it? Is it like the brand? What's my brand? He didn't care about any of that bullshit. Content was great.
That was the product. So that's what he focused on.
So, but then I have people that are like, well, we're going to really get into content marketing. I'm like, cool. What? Can I read something? Can you show me what you have? Yeah. We've spent the last month. We really designed a beautiful blog. I'm like, all right. What? I'm so frustrated when I hear that. Anyway, so I think that the more people, and this might lead us down a different path, so I'll edit myself here a little bit, but I think the more people are in their head about like how big something will become and how important this business is going to be, the more afraid they are of fucking it up and the more they indulge in bullshit work. And I think that overall, the core of why people spend a lot of time in motion, not in progress, is that motion is more comfortable than progress. Because motion in itself, and a lot of times what we mean is motion that has no purpose, right? Which is somebody's like hand waving.
Yeah.
Hand waving doesn't, you don't get a lot of resistance to that.
Yeah.
Progress, you're pushing against the fucking wall. You're pushing stones up a fucking mountain. It's a lot grindier, dirtier, and harder than sitting there and like motioning off things.
Because that's easy.
That's easy. There's no resistance because there's nobody there. You're doing stuff that doesn't matter.
Right.
So how do you know that? There's so many entrepreneurial friends that I have that make this mistake, and I haven't found a way to help people separate better and better what is motion, what is progress, and help them focus more and more on progress.
Well, I mean, since this is about business,
yes,
right? That's what we podcast about or talk about. There's two things a business needs. It needs a great product, and it needs distribution.
Yep.
So if you want to figure out progress, Just like an example you had before, like where you were talking about a business where the product was handed to you
because
it was a franchise or you're middlemaning it, right? Great product, it's someone else's.
Yep.
So great or not, you're dealing with it.
Yep.
So all you got to worry about is distribution. So in that case, if you already got a product, whether it's great or not, it's a product.
Yep.
You should try selling it, right? And you shouldn't worry about anything else. So in that case, if you're trying to trying to improve the product or sort of start designing all these features and stuff, but you don't even have any customers, right? You probably got to go get customers. So to me, it's just like when I look at a business and talk to a founder and I hear about motion or progress, or I have the sense that I'm not sure if they're making progress, I'll just try to figure out, okay, do they have a product already? Is it great? Okay, well, whether it's great or not, that's cool if they already have a product.
They have a product.
And if they haven't got distribution for it or try to get customers, then they should go do that.
Yeah.
And if they don't have a product yet, they should go make a great product. And that's it. And so all the progress they make is towards one of those two goals. In fact, in any business, all the progress you make is towards one of those two goals at any time. So that's a really simple way to just think about, am I making progress towards building a great product, or am I making progress towards getting more customers for a great product, or getting any customers for a great product? That's it.
Here's the most valuable thing I learned during Y Combinator. Yeah. The most valuable thing I ever learned from Paul Graham.
Yeah.
We got accepted to YC a while back. First meeting with Paul Graham, first office hour. He tries to figure out what the fuck are you doing, right? So you re-pitch him your idea, what's the business, what's the product, who's the audience and all that. And he tries to get to like the core, the kernel of like, what are we doing here? What are you guys trying to accomplish? And once he gets it, the entire rest of the discussion was about what is the one metric that would signal progress.
Yeah.
Like what's great. The one metric?
Yeah.
And he would brainstorm about this. He'd be like, well, for you guys, you know, we did something completely different than today, right? We did a donation platform. So it was like, is it the amount of donations? Is it the amount of nonprofits on the platform? Is it the amount of people that sign up, but then they need to be fully subscribed with their credit card? And we're like, we finally arrived at this point where we're like, it's the number of enrolled members that are paying with their credit card, make a donation every month, because that was the core of the business.
Yep.
So the moment we got to that number, he was like, all right, we all agreed that's the number, the one number. Cool. Can you promise me 10% growth on that number week over week for the next 3 months? Can you do that? And we were like, we're fucking 10 users right now. So how hard is it? Yeah, I can promise you another user next week. He was like, yeah, don't dismiss it. You know, you are nobody today. So even getting to 10 is hard, right? And getting another one is hard. Nobody knows who you guys are. Right? Every week it's going to get harder, right? But every week, hopefully your product is better, your marketing is better, so you should be able to get to that.
Yeah.
And the moment we shook hands, My next question to him was, do you have your credit card with
you?
And he started laughing. He's like, you see, that's why I do this. I'm like, all right, motherfucker, sign up right now.
Fucking credit card.
And and we signed him up. And then we went back to the room where all the startups wait for their office hour. And I literally went to every single person and asked them if they want to sign up for the service. And the beautiful thing about this one key metric and committing to a growth goal at the early days is that every week we just ask ourselves, hey, we want to do these 12 things. And then we step back and went, which one of these will help us grow by this number next week?
Which one's going to help us get make progress on that number?
On the, on that number. And that's such a beautiful clarifying thing because it allowed us to say no to a million things because we're like, going to this event is not, is this going to really help us with this number or not? Doing this product feature versus that product feature, it just is a beautiful clarifier of prioritizing things. I think progress versus motion also comes down to learning to say no. Right. Learning to say, what do you want to say yes to versus no?
Yeah.
And I see too many startups, like, and we talked about bullshit work before, right? The, the you know, logo, branding, website, blog, setup things. It's the events, it's conferences, meetups. It's the partnerships. Oh, my fucking God. You don't have a product.
Like startups partnering with other startups?
Yes, yes. The blind and the blind coming together, you know? It's like... we don't have a product or customers, and they don't have a product and customers, but we'll partner.
So we can all get
customers and no product. Yeah, how the fuck is that going to happen? Where's the distribution coming from? I see so much of that. And also the we're going to be dabbling in lots of things. So we have an SMB product. So we're trying to get to small, medium-sized businesses, but then we still reach out to enterprise customers and we start having conversations with these. And then some person out of the healthcare space that has nothing to do with what we do said they're interested in what we do. So we take meetings with them and now we're brainstorming on a healthcare version of our product. Yeah. It's like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like you don't have a product yet. You don't have customers and you're trying to be a conglomerate. Right? Do like 100 different things.
Yeah, you're trying to solve every problem. Like
literally,
for
there's a, there are friends of mine that have a startup. They're not getting traction in their home market.
Yeah.
And they spend the last 2 weeks doing a contract with some other startup dude in some other country for that person to be the person that's launching their business in that. In that market, Jesus fucking Christ, can you please get a few customers in your own market first? Right? So why, like, how do we differentiate? So we said, like, maybe a single metric, product and customers, like, it's two, like, super clarifying things.
Yeah, so I think your the metric you got from Paul Graham is really good for distribution. You can pick one metric and say, when I want to get customers, I'm going to, you know,
how do you do that for product? How do you do that for product? And also, a lot of times, if product and customers are not in some sort of balance, I get nervous.
Yeah.
But then again, I know how to build a certain type of business and not another type of business. So probably like me talking to the guys at Slack, I would have gotten nervous if they spent like a year working on this, perfecting this messaging thing. And I'm like, why don't you have users or customers?
Yeah.
So, you know, having said that, how do you know that you're making progress versus that you're just busy building product?
So I think on product, you can make it a metric or a milestone. So if it's not, if you can't find a metric for whatever reason, because maybe the product's really early, you can make it a milestone. So for example, in one of our businesses, it's a new product. And one of the way we think about it is we actually deliberately started by sending people an email. And we actually don't even send them the email right now. We these are usually friends of mine. You haven't got this email yet, but you will soon. And we're sending them a weekly email that summarizes their content marketing.
Okay.
Right. And so instead of turning on the email and sending it every week, we actually take a screenshot of the email, send it to the person and say, hey, you'd receive this in your email box. Here's the screenshot. I love your feedback. And it's with their own data.
Yeah.
So it's exactly what they would receive in their inbox, but we send it like at a random day and very like early in the process of our product development. And the metric we're actually looking for is converting those people into wanting it automatically every day. Because then we know we've built a great product for them. Because until they say that, it doesn't matter. So we just got our first person to say that last week. We've only been doing this for like a week.
Okay.
Right? And we've only had like 5 or 7 companies start seeing these screenshots.
Okay.
And we've been getting feedback. And literally, Some companies have seen them twice because we've already gotten feedback and changed it. So for us, it's like, how can you build it so you can learn? And how can you set up your milestones that are more product oriented, not distribution oriented? And I think it's really more milestones than a metric. And for us, like I said, we set it up so that we don't email them the email. We give them a screenshot. It's actually me emailing you and saying, hey, here's a freaking screenshot. What do you think?
Yeah.
Right. And then the next step, when we start automating it, we're actually the next step we're looking for is then it's a metric, the open rate every week on the emails. But that only works once you have 20, 30, 10, whatever, more people.
Yeah.
Right. And one other metric we're looking at is and this is not really a metric, but how much feedback do we get? So we did it this way with the screenshot because we wanted deeper feedback from less people. And then when it turns into a quantitative metric, then it's more shallow feedback. And it's usually more quantitative feedback until we discover things. Like the next step is like once we automate it, again, the milestones opens. But then that implies basically if people aren't opening, we should go hunt them down and go figure out why they're not opening, right? But if you think about sales, it's like if somebody, just like the distribution side, if somebody doesn't, it's the same pattern. If somebody doesn't buy, you go figure out why, right? In the same way, if they don't do something, like they don't open the email because that's our product.
Yeah.
Then we go hunt them down and say, hey, why don't you open the emails? Yeah. Let's fix it. Right. So the way, what I call it is you're just building it to learn.
Yeah. Right? But a key difference between what you're describing, what many people I see do is that the product and the users of the product or the purpose of the product or the value that the product you think is supposed to create is very unified. So, and I'm trying to find a better way of saying this is that a lot of times I see people separating the product from the people that should use it from the user or the customer. And they just have an idea of like, we'll set the milestone. We want to build these 10 features because we think people really need them, right? We could be working on this for 10 years now and we're making progress. We're not just in motion, but progress towards what? And versus what you're describing is like the product and the people that the product is supposed to serve are almost one thing, the product development, like in there, it's a yin and a yang, it's imbalanced. I don't know how to describe it.
One of my friends, Samuel, from useronboard.com has a great way to describe it. He has this graphic where it's like, there's Mario without any superpowers, and then there's Mario with the superpowers. Yep. And what your job as a product is giving people superpowers.
Yes, I love that.
So I think an easy way to think about what a great product is you know you've got a great product when people feel like it's given them a superpower to the point where they tell other people about it. So that's what we're really aiming for.
Yeah.
Right? So other metrics we think about to define progress would be, can we get somebody to tell us, to recommend, literally when I ask somebody who said, oh, I want the email now, the second they say that, I'll ask them, is there anyone else? And this is a very salesy thing. Mm-hmm. So I learned it from you, and people like you, I'll ask them, is there anyone else that you think would get value from this email?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so I think those kind of things are the kind of things to just keep you in the land of customers.
Yeah. But right? so even your product milestones revolve around the customers, right?
They do. Yeah.
All right. So the next milestone in the product is getting somebody to ask us for this seeing that people are really opening it even after the 10th day of That's getting right. it. Yeah. Like those are awesome milestones because they evolve around the customer versus, hey, we have this other brilliant idea. I mean, I'm sure you could, shit out a thousand great, quote unquote ideas, but who is it serving?
Yeah. So the thing we've internalized is it's not a great product unless the customers say so.
Yes.
So it's not our opinion of a fucking great product.
Say it again.
It's not a great product unless your customers say so.
Yes.
So that's why all of our stuff's customer centric. It's also on the distribution side, it's all about customers.
Yeah.
So if you can just look, a business is all about customers. They need
yes.
to pay. So if you just focus on them, generally everything works out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So
All right. So here's something else, right? So let's say you know progress and motion, you know how to separate them, and you really focus on the product and your customers. You move things forward. Sometimes what I see is, and I've done this myself, is you don't set high enough standards in what progress is good progress, right? So you'll have somebody that says, hey, I started blogging, things are really rocking and rolling, and I write one post every month and I have three unique views a month on this. And I spent, full time this month on it. And now I went from three views to four views. Like sometimes people give ridiculously low numbers as their progress, but they seem to be happy with it. Or even startups that are like, yeah, we're doing really well. We have this customer, we have this progress. It sounds like they are making progress. It just doesn't sound like that progress is.
So they have no benchmark on what progress really looks like, or
maybe their benchmark is off, and maybe this is an entrepreneurial pitfall of being so optimistic that you look at every little bit of progress and you just highlight it so much that you think it's a lot, but it's not really.
So I mean, I think that just requires a resetting of someone's expectations. So it might be that their expectation's too low.
Yeah.
I think an easy way to do that would be being able to quantify what you're looking for. So like, instead of saying that, like, we're going to get, you know, 10 visitors a day, right? You could say something like, in the next month, we want to get, you know, we want to get our marketing to the point where we're able to get 100 visitors a day.
Yeah.
Right. So you could stretch it out a little bit further and say that, because it takes time, you know, for like something like content to start kicking in or for you to learn how to do it. Right. So I think if your goals are too micro, they're not really a goal.
Yeah.
Right. They're not really even measurable progress at that point.
And the other thing that I would say to this is find peers. People and companies that are accomplishing what you want and are just one or two steps ahead of you, so that you know what progress should really look like. And they can tell you, oh, when we were 3 months into launching, this were our numbers.
Yep.
And so you know, like, and hopefully you compare yourself with somebody that's accomplishing what you want, so that their goals and their progression
is relevant to you.
Yep, right?
That's a good trick.
So find people, find businesses to set benchmarks for what was their progress in this space to know if you're doing well or not.
And there's a really simple way to do that, which is come up with what you think is progress and just ask a few people.
Yeah.
Right. And pick people who have been in your scenario just recently.
Yeah.
And I think you'll get a better idea of that. I really like that trick.
Yeah. The other thing on a personal level is I love this quote. I don't know who came up with it first, but it's the, like, being busy is the worst form of laziness or something like that, right? Yeah. Being busy is just another way of being lazy.
Yeah.
And I love that because to me, it's a good, like, feedback loop to whenever I feel like I'm stressed out, whenever I feel like I have too much going on, there's a voice sooner or later. I see people that come to me that are like, I have so much to do. I'm so stressed out. I'm so overloaded. And when that happens to me, usually very quickly, when I start feeling that overwhelmed, really quickly I ask myself, shit, am I saying just yes to too many things? Am I really clear? Do I have clarity right now in life? Or am I just like running around with my head cut off and I don't know what I'm doing?
Actually, being busy is a good indicator that you're in motion, not in progress.
Too much, yes. Yeah. Because if you look,
especially if you say it to yourself. So yes. I actually have a visceral reaction when people say, "Oh, you're busy."
To you,
and I'm like, "No, I'm not busy." I'm not. Yeah, you know, like, this is life.
Yes, I mean, obviously, you depending on where you are in life and what you want, you might. Your life and the things that you're tackling might seem incredibly hard for somebody else, or seem like your day is super busy, but If you're really creating progress, and if you have clarity, then you're in control. And if you're in control, then the busy is it implies in itself that it's too much.
Yeah, that's
almost,
right. Yeah.
So it means that you've put too much on your plate in a way that's not manageable anymore, in a way that was not curated or not careful.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I always come back to people and ask them, hey, do you think whoever the relevant person for that person would be, if it's a Silicon Valley entrepreneur, I'll be like, do you think, you know, Elon Musk or whatever, Mark Zuckerberg has less to do than you, right? No. How the fuck do they do it? Do you think, can you imagine him right now sitting somewhere going, I'm fucking overwhelmed. I have so much to do. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're like, no. Cool. All right. Ask yourself if you really have too many tasks in too many hours, or if you just said yes to too many things, if you're sloppy, if you're just busy instead of being productive, if you're trying to be efficient versus effective, like, ask yourself if you're really using your time in a wise way, and if you know what you're doing, versus if, you know, the amount of things that you need to do in the hours that you have is kind of like universal laws that are forced on you and make you feel this type of pressure.
Right. I think it's time for the tip.
Yes.
So I'll give the tip. I'll give the first tip. I don't see enough people actually doing a personal inventory of everything they're doing.
Hmm.
You can look at your calendar. You can look at all those things. And like, if you just did a personal inventory and then on all those items, you just literally did a check mark or no check mark on whether it's actually progressing towards something, you'd probably get a clear idea of kind of where your time's going. So an easy way of doing an inventory of motion versus progress is, where's your time going? And another easy one, just rolling into that, would be if you don't know, if you quantify where your time is going, but you don't know if you're making motion or progress, you're probably in motion, not in progress, because you don't actually have a deliberate goal that you've set, or a milestone that you've set, or a metric that you've set, which can define progress for you. So then you might need to go define progress first before you even do the inventory.
I love it. Here's my tip. I want everyone who's listening to write down a list of, look at the calendar of their to-do or whatever they do, and look at everything that's going on right now. All their to-dos, the projects, the things they're working on, the milestones they're trying to accomplish. And I want you to kill 2 to 3 of the items that are on there. And if you feel really panicked about killing any of these, although you're thinking about killing them, then I really want you to fucking kill them. Because it means you're attached for some stupid reason. But